This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
It's time for another hospice show here on Vectis Radio. I'm joined by Diana Wood and Marion Tasker. Welcome, both of you. It's lovely to have you back into the studio, Marion. You're looking very, very summery. Everyone's looking very summery here. In fact, it's a beautiful day here at Vectis Radio and indeed out on the rest of the Isle of Wight. Now, we are joined by Diana because one thing we haven't really spoken about in recent times on the hospice show are the wonderful things that the volunteers do, particularly in the shops. And Diana, I understand it, you are one of the volunteers in the ride shop, aren't you?
Yes, I do Tuesday and Friday afternoons in the ride shop.
And you've been working there for 7 years
about
now?
Nearly 7 years, yes.
And could you tell our listeners, please, whereabouts in Ryde the hospice shop is?
The hospice shop is just up from St Thomas's Square, next to the Crown Pub.
Oh, yes, I know, just the other side of the Crown Pub as you go up.
Now, there are 10 shops, aren't there, on the island? So it's a remarkable business. Do you know roughly, you know, what kind of money they raise between them for the hospice?
Well, I'm not really sure. I know that yesterday we took in well over £1,000 just with Walk the Wight donations in the
shop.
Wow,
that is amazing. Yes, and actually that's a very good point, isn't it? Because you don't just sell things, you sell packs, don't you, for Walk the Wight, and then sort of taking sponsorship money as well. Mm-hmm. So Nigel, I think, has been round to visit you all, is that right?
I'm sure he has, yes.
But you haven't seen him, but you...
I think I saw him shortly after he started. He came into the ride shop.
Fantastic. And do you all feel sort of part of one big team? Do you ever have sort of team-building exercises together?
It's much better.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We don't... we only ever meet really together if we go out for a meal at Christmas time.
Right.
It used to be that all the shop volunteers got together and we went to the Bargeman's Rest for a meal at Christmas
time. Oh, that sounds nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh,
that's used to be good. About between 30 or 40 of us, I think.
Oh, wow. So a lot of people involved in the shops.
So how many of you do work in the ride shop? Because you don't have to work every day, do you?
No. Colin likes to have about two volunteers on most of the time.
Right.
And I think he has about 22, 23 shop volunteers that he can call on.
Wow,
so
that's
quite
good.
A juggling act then.
Yes.
So yeah.
Do you find there are any types of items which are particularly popular, maybe pictures or shoes or books?
Since the ride shop was revamped, we get some fabulous clothes in, and that is going very well indeed, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
Although
good.
People did demand that we have the books back.
Yes.
They didn't like it when the books went.
No, I think people do like being able to buy books.
Well, you
they?
Certainly do, Judy.
Yes,
you're a big charity shop bookaholic.
Yeah, what I do is I buy them, and then I read them, and then I take them back. I sort of recycle them, and I think somewhere like Ryde, and I think particularly in the summer, it's really nice, because people, if they're on holiday, they can pop in, buy a book, read it on the beach, and then drop it off back with you again. I think it's a really lovely thing to do.
Yeah. Now, Diana, stick with us. We're going to listen to a little bit of UB40 now. We do know that you've got a very special song, and we're going to play that afterwards. What we'd like to hear from you is how people at home can help, both in terms of bringing things into the shop and then becoming volunteers themselves. So stick with us. Diana will be back in just a second after UB40 and Kingston Town. Ah, what a nice little track for a sunny afternoon. That was UB40 and Kingston Town. And we're here with Diana Brown and Marion Tasker from the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. And we were talking about some amazing amazing things that are going on with the hospice shops. I mean, you're Diana, you're not just selling things, you're helping with Walk the Wight and getting people hooked up for that. Can you tell me, what can I bring into the shop? Because I think there's some things that I'm not allowed to bring into the shop. Is that right?
Don't bring any knives.
Knives, okay.
Some electrical things are okay, but I mean, they all have to be pat tested by the hospice team.
Okay,
anyway.
So how about an old hi-fi or something like that?
I think I took my husband's in when we moved house last year.
Toaster? probably not.
I know,
it is very, very difficult nowadays, because when my dad went into a care home, you know, any electrical things that he had to be sort of tested for about a week beforehand.
And everything has to have the kite mark on it, of course, as well.
So there's this central warehouse, isn't there, the
yes.
hospice? I know Chip's been along to see that, and they do all of that testing, do they, there?
I think so.
Okay, and what about clothes? I mean, you know, it's sort of difficult, isn't it? Because Judith keeps telling me I've got a whole wardrobe of clothes to chuck out. And she says, don't chuck them out, give them to the hospice shop. But do I need to get them dry cleaned first? Or, you know, what?
Well, that would be preferable. But, I mean, even if things are tatty, they still get ragged, so...
Right, okay.
So you can find a use for anything.
Yes,
so if I bring clothes to the shop, you have a sort of little back room where you sort things out, do you?
And
you,
it's quite a big back room.
Right.
It's usually quite full.
Okay.
All of it gets lost in there quite regularly.
Okay, so do you have a specific person in there whose job it is to sort of weed out, you know, what's rubbish and what's good for the shop floor?
No, mostly that goes through to the warehouse, and that's done from the warehouse. So when the stuff is sent through to Colin, it's already been... gone
right.
through.
Oh, so it's ready to display.
Yes.
And I have to say, we live in Benbridge, and the lady who does the shop window at the hospice shop in Benbridge is a real artist. She's absolutely fantastic, and your windows are lovely too, in Ryde.
Yes, it's usually Mary who does the windows in Ryde.
No, there's a real skill in terms of doing that. The other skill, I guess, is that sort of cash in the attic skill, in terms of pricing things. Who's in charge of that?
Yeah, some of it comes already priced from the warehouse, and then we have a volunteer, Sue, who will come in and look at the odd item.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a case of going onto eBay and finding stuff.
Oh, okay, so you go onto
that's
eBay.
Already been sold to get an idea of...
So you have some sort of comparison
there.
Yes. Because it must be very hard.
Yes, I mean, we had some... one Italian and a Radley handbag delivered quite recently.
Yeah.
And I had a look at them online, and they were about £300.
Wow.
Yeah, because Radley handbags are incredibly expensive.
Yes.
Yeah, they're the ones normally with the little dogs on, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I always look out for Itala, which is Finnish glassware, which is always sort of... it's quite rare, but it's very expensive, and it does pop up in charity shops from time to time. But do you find there are sort of professional bargain hunters who come in?
There are some dealers who come in, yes.
Yeah, I thought as much. That's brilliant.
The other thing that I find charity shops very good for are things like wedding hats. If you're going to a wedding, because most people will buy, particularly if you're sort of mother of the bride or something, will buy a really nice hat, wear it once, and then donate it to a wedding, to a hospice shop. So I've picked up some nice hats that way, actually.
Yeah. Now, we were told... by Marion that we mustn't mention harps, but I think it's impossible, Diana, to have you in here without mentioning harps, because although the hospice is one of your loves, you are one of the organisers, aren't you, of Harp on White, or if
I
not the organiser?
No, I have recently been appointed chair of Harp on White.
Fantastic.
But it was set up initially by Anna Sacchini, who has my Michelangelo restaurant in Ryde.
Yeah, okay. And
you have a lot of musical interest, because I gather you're a member of the hospice choir.
I am.
So are you rehearsing anything in particular at the moment?
Not at the moment. Mm-hmm. We're building up to having a little performance at Barton Manor.
That'd be nice.
July.
Oh, lovely.
Fantastic, because you've already...
I don't know if that was...
Is that going to be...
confidential information, but it's too late now.
And because you've already done one concert, haven't you?
Well, we did a little one for friends and family in the hospice, and then we did the 35th anniversary concert at All Saints Church.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
So, because you haven't been going that long as a group.
January, I think, middle of January,
that's incredible. So how many, roughly, do you get...
Well, it varies. I mean, it's usually about 50 or 60.
Oh, that's fantastic. And do you have many men? Because I know choirs often struggle.
The boy band.
Often there's struggle to attract male members.
10 of them. You could be coming along, James.
I can't read music very well.
It doesn't matter. We don't have music.
No,
we only have the words.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I find reading very difficult. There is something I think you have been practicing, though, and I understand you can even get the accents right, and that's a track we've got coming up by the Proclaimers, 500 Miles.
Oh, that's because I'm Scottish.
Is this based on Walk the White?
It is. It suddenly dawned on me that this would be the first radio performed, and since Walk the Light was done, I thought, well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Quite right.
And Marion's just done her long walk, so...
Absolutely.
50K? Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, after the Proclaimers, we're going to hear from Marion about what else is going on. I want to hear about the progress of the quilt, for example.
Yes.
Yeah, and more of your crafty tips. So, thanks. The Beach Boys and California Girls. What could be better for a lovely sunny day? Before that, Diana Wood's favourite song. Well, favourite song when it's about this time of year, and we've just had Walk the White. I'm going to walk. No, I'm going to be 500 miles. That's the Proclaimers. Now, let's sort of settle back and be very much in the moment, shall we? Because Marion, I think you are. Are you okay? Because I noticed you're a bit slow coming in through the front door this afternoon. You've been running a mindfulness course.
Well, it's not running a mindfulness course, but we've got this opportunity to exhibit at Key Arts in response to Richard Long's exhibition that he's got on at the moment, which is about walking.
Yeah,
and he's created sculptures. Along some of the walks that he's completed.
Mm-hmm.
So our response to that was, we were thinking about people's experience of walking, sort of patients and families and carers and all of that.
Yeah.
And it was quite funny because I imagined that everyone would have sort of fantastic walks that they'd done, and, you know, being on the island and all of that. But actually we almost formed the anti-walking group, because many people said, oh, I hate walking. And I said, oh, if you can think of three words that sort of like we'll say about walking, what would they be? And people would say, oh, blisters, being uncomfortable. And, you know, it's all sort of...
That's a great advert for Walk the White, isn't it?
So today I thought, well, we'll go at a different avenue. And actually, it's one of the patients who said, well, why don't we do a walk in the hospice? Because we've got this wonderful Chelsea garden. We could walk around the garden.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, maybe we can tie that into a mindfulness thing.
Yeah.
Because that'll be really getting people to focus on the environment and the whole experience.
Yes.
So I, with a group of patients this morning... I proposed the idea about mindfulness, and I know mindfulness has been sort of banged around all the time. You know, it's become a bit of a buzzword for stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't want for people to be immediately resistant to it. So I just introduced the idea of being very present in the moment.
Yeah.
And experiencing.
I mean, a lot of people think it's sort of Buddhism without Buddha, but basically, it is all about, you know, being at one with the things around you and actually noticing what's going on around you, because Judith always notices about me that I'm always on to the next thing, so I never actually concentrate on what's going on around me or what Judith's saying. I'm just sort of, I'm locked on to something in the future, and it means you miss out a lot on life, doesn't it?
You have to slow down, don't you, and enjoy the moment.
I think so, and I'm, you know, I'm a prime example. I've got friends that call me A to B, A to B, A to B, because I'm rushing around all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, particularly with walking, actually, if I'm on a long walk, my focus is on the end. But actually, in focusing on the end, I'm missing the whole experience.
Exactly. No, I'm exactly the same. And there are some things that you just do automatically, aren't they? I mean, brushing your teeth, for example. The mindfulness, I went on a mindfulness course with Judith, and then on a few others, and they said the thing they find most difficult to do is to be mindful while brushing your teeth, because you're always sort of thinking, this is such a sort of useless, well, not useless, but it's just such a regular thing that you're doing. Sometimes I forget, you know, whether I've done it. I'm starting to get like one of those people, you know, who needs one of those sort of pill boxes with each of the pills in every day, because those sort of regular things you just don't think about. And so how did you get them into the moment, Marion?
Well, because we were very fortunate, we've got such a lovely day today. We got everyone in the garden sitting around a table, and I invited them to just think about how it had felt to get to the table, because some people are quite breathless, or, you know, physically just to move from one small area to another area requires quite a lot of effort. So we sat people down, and I just sort of said, right, I just want you to notice about your breath, about how your body feels. Are you feeling achy? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling apprehensive about what I'm going to ask you to do, or what we're going to do this morning? And so that sort of focused people in, and people would comment on that and say, oh yes, I'm feeling a bit breathless. And I said, well, by paying attention to your breath, so not trying to change it, You just notice it. And then people noticed that actually their breath did slow down a little bit as they settled into the moment.
Yeah.
And then once people had got a bit more aware of their own physicality, I asked them to think about the environment and the effect the environment was having on them. So the wind, the sun, noises, sounds, smells. And so there was a bit of, initially there was a lots of chatter and a bit of banter, and then very gently people started to quieten, and then we just sat in silence for about 10 minutes.
It is very relaxing. You do feel very, very refreshed at the end of it. Now, Diana had a very good question earlier, which is, was there a reason?
Oh, yes.
Because it is something, on every mindfulness course, they get you to concentrate on something very small and kind of notice it. And I think with a raisin, you're sort of noticing its texture in your fingers,
yes,
aren't you? And how sort of crumpled and funny it looks.
And then you have to eat it very slowly, don't you?
Oh, yeah, very, very slowly.
It took about 6 minutes.
You have to sort of savour. And it really showed me how much I gobble my food. But you didn't have any raisins.
I didn't have any raisins, no. As tempting as it was, I didn't.
Well, there's an old bit of fudge sitting behind you. You could maybe take that back for next week.
Yeah, I think someone's had a bite out of it.
So this was so successful. You're going to continue with it, I understand.
Well, so after we'd done that sort of little bit of just sitting around the table, I invited people to walk around the garden, and they went off and walked.
Right.
And when they came back, they all talked about their experience and what they'd noticed. So, mm-hmm. The thing that I was wondering was if we'd just gone for a walk, whether we would have noticed so much. And it was something about coming together and just settling and noticing sort of just in one space what's going on around us. So when you go off into other spaces, you're more aware. And the main themes that came up were bird song, because the birds were amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And colour, because the garden's really starting to bloom and the colours are amazing. And smells of some of the plants that have been planted. And people were saying that actually it really gave them a sense of hope, because it was spring and the bird song and the energy and sort of there was some seagulls nesting on the roof. And so, you know, a lot came out of it, a lot of conversation. And so next week I'm going to encourage people to express some of this in colour.
Mm-hmm.
So painting.
Oh, how lovely. Oh,
fantastic.
Well done. Now, you said people weren't that keen on walking. In a few minutes, Judith's got something about running. But first, there's some Amy Winehouse. Winehouse. Nearly didn't bring her in there because I'm having my arm twisted over the Earl Mountbatten Hospice Community Choir. We shall see, but they're practising tonight, I understand,
yes,
Diana.
6:30.
And what kind of songs are you doing at the moment?
Didn't know you were going to ask me that.
But they're popular ones, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
it's not like you're doing sort of requiems or anything
no,
like
it's
that.
No, it's all very uplifting.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, Judith. Here's something uplifting.
It is uplifting.
One left, one leg after the next.
Well, you've all had a chance to recover from Walk the White, so what about the Osborne Run? To celebrate the hospice's 35th anniversary, this is a new event, and it's a run through the beautiful grounds of Osborne House.
That's a nice place to do it.
Fantastic. You can do a 5K or a 3K. Both start and finish in front of Osborne House itself. It's going to be on the 17th of June.
Uh-huh.
Starts at 10:30. Places are limited, so if you'd like to enter, do please register now. It's www.iwhospice.org. £20 entry fee for adults. Under 12s, £10. If you're younger than 3 years old, you can go for free, which would be sweet. And there's a special rate for family groups.
Yeah,
so that's fantastic.
We don't know yet whether it's on the level, do we? Or whether you sort of go... Do they go down to the beach? We don't know, do we?
We don't... Oh, yes, it does.
It does go down to the beach.
It does.
Oh, it's quite a climb coming back.
Yeah.
But I don't want to put anyone off.
No, let me tell you.
They do have a bus that goes down there and brings people back, don't they?
It takes in areas of the ground, including the beach, Swiss Cottage and other quieter areas of the estate not usually seen by visitors.
Oh, sounds magnificent.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, it's between the choir and that, isn't it? It's sort of like Scylla and Charybdis. We're back after the ads. Just stick with us. I want candy. And that was Bow Wow Wow. We wanted candy, we got it. And all there is left is a squashed piece of fudge. And it's behind Marion. So if you want candy, Marion, it's there.
Thank you.
It's just it doesn't look great. I think one of the former presenters had their sticky fingers in it.
Yeah, it's got grubby fingerprints in it.
Yeah, I always hate fudge with fingerprints. Anyway, there you go. Now, Marion, how is your quilt going?
Well, we looked at it last night because we had a quilting group. It's not strictly a quilt, I have to say, in the true traditional sense.
Unless you're a giant. Yeah.
Well, and the ladies that have been working on it have just done such an amazing job. And I'm really annoyed with myself. I didn't bring it today, but one of the ladies came in and she'd done some homework because people go home and do bits more. And she came in with a Vectus Radio square. So that she's
is so
done.
Sweet.
I wonder if she'd like to come on to the show on Wednesday.
Well, I did talk to them about it. I think they'd probably be quite up for it.
Yeah, do bring them in.
We'd love to meet the lady who's done the Vectus Radio.
Yeah, because we'll tweet a picture and give them a big shout out. That's marvellous. Good. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask Diana was on the wall behind you, people obviously can't see this at home, there's a load of LPs. I understand they're getting more popular in the hospice shop, is that right?
Very popular, yes.
So, I mean, there are a lot of people like me who've got a load of LPs at home, don't know what to do with them, you know.
Bring them into Colin.
Okay, and same with CDs?
Yes.
And you said earlier that even 78s are being welcomed and being bought, presumably.
Yes. They all go, they're very popular. People come in two or three times a week to look through the CDs if we get a new delivery on a Tuesday.
Yeah, well, vinyl is so now again, isn't it? It's crazy that it's gone like that, because I just bought my godson a little sort of vinyl record player for his Christmas present this year, and he said it was his best ever Christmas present, which is really sweet. So I think kids are just sort of going retro. And finally, I think we must allow Diana to talk about something which could be of great help as well to Marion, because Marion has just indicated, and I do want this to be on the record on community radio, has just indicated that she once had a miniature harp, but she didn't know what to do with it. And I think Diana has got the perfect solution, isn't that right?
I have.
So, Diana, there is a Learn the Harp Day.
It's Learn to Play Day. It's a national event.
Yeah.
And it's over the weekend of the 24th and 25th of June, Saturday and Sunday. So on Saturday, we're going to be in Ryde Library between 11 and 3. And on Sunday, Merlina is opening up her home in Freshwater for another session. But obviously with Merlina's Sunday session, then those spaces have to be booked.
Fantastic. And go to the Harp on White website to find out more about that.
Indeed.
It's a beautiful website,
fantastic.
I must say.
Fantastic.
And best of luck with Harp on White this year. We'll be there.
Thank you.
And Marion, I understand you're wanting to take up the harp again now. So there we go.
I'm trying my best.
Well, next time you join us in a fortnight on the Hospice Show, it's going to be the Gatton and Lake School, who did an afternoon cream tea for patients. And it sounds like it was a wonderful event. Chip and Marion were there. And
Fraser Simpson, who is the music therapist at the hospice, will be with us too. We're really looking forward to meeting him.
Yes, and good luck tonight with the community choir.
You could be joining us.
I could. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best. www.vectusradio.com